Well, this morning we are continuing our series called Real Faith in Real Life. The whole premise is this, is that if we're going to really live life, then we really need faith. This week we look at the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to check out how these guys demonstrated faith as we explore what it looks like to live a life of what we're calling even if faith. However, before we go to the text in Daniel 3, let's take a quick look at what even if faith is not. All right, I got to tell you what, your faces are worth $1 million this morning. Everyone's looking at the screen right now going, what does this have to do with faith? What does this have to do anything? Why are we looking at James Brown? For you younger folks here, that's James Brown, King of Soul. Hey, woo, come on, I feel good. Faith, what it's not. We're going to talk about even if faith, but we're going to first talk about what even if faith is not. Look, I saw that video when we were at Grand Canyon University. Velvet and I took Jake over to Grand Canyon. We're checking out different schools because I can't believe it, but it's like a year from college time for our oldest child. It's blowing my mind, and I'm processing all that, and God's walking me through that. Those of you who have had children that have grown up and gone on to being their own men and women on their own, you've been through that, processing that. So Velvet and I are beginning that process. So we took him over to Grand Canyon. We went there on a Monday morning on purpose because that's when they have their campus chapel service. Once a week, Monday morning chapel service. It was a special week this particular Monday morning, and they actually had the band City Harmonic there leading worship. And let me tell you what, they're great and they're loud. And then they had a guy by the name of Ron Luce there that brought the message. And those of you who are familiar with Ron, he heads up the ministry Teen Mania and Acquire the Fire. And he actually played that video at the beginning of his message. And I think everybody there at Grand Canyon University Arena kind of had the same look at their face, including myself and Velvet and Jake. We're all like, what is this? Why are we watching James Brown and listening to him sing, I Feel Good? And he began to talk to the young people there about faith. And he went into a whole message about all different types of faith. And he gave different examples of faith. And one of them was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he talked about this feel-good faith that so many people in America have adopted. So much of the church has adopted this James Brown-style feel-good faith. How? Anyway, too many Christians have embraced a feel-good faith. Another way that I like to call it, instead of just feel-good faith, it's an only-if faith. Because we're talking about an even-if faith this morning. But an only-if faith would be like the opposite of that. It's a feel-good only-if faith. In other words, that feel-good only-if faith is that we have confidence in God as long as everything works out. Or we have that feel-good only of faith, as long as it's not too hard, man, I'm there with you, God, and I'm strong in it, and I'm ready to roll. As long as it's safe, as long as it's comfortable, as long as it gives me the warm fuzzies inside, it doesn't mess too much with my schedule and all the other things I have going on. As long as all my needs are provided for and I see it up front, that this is going to be, you know, one of those kind of cakewalk things. Then I'm all in, God, and I've got that faith that I'm right there with you. That, woo, I feel good kind of faith. Let's go. Feel good. Only if style faith. That puts conditions on God. Puts conditions on following Him. You could hear people with that feel good only if faith saying, hey, God, I will follow you if everything is all lined up ahead of time. Hey, God, I'm on board with you, and I'll do this thing you're calling me to do if you do this first. That only if faith, that feel good faith. Come on, I'm guilty. I've fallen into that before. I've done that. That only if that feel good faith. Oh God, I'm right with you as long as it's all there. It reminded me of the rich young ruler. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The rich young ruler, you know, he comes to Jesus and he comes to him. He says, oh, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus replied to him and he listed off six different conditions. And the guy said, well, great. I've done those since I was just a kid. Then Jesus said, wait, there's one more. And the guy's probably thinking, I got this piece of cake. And Jesus said, you know what? You need to sell all your stuff. Now, this guy had a lot of stuff. You need to sell your stuff. You need to give it to the poor and then come follow me. And what did the rich young ruler do? He turned and he walked away from Jesus sad. It says, for he had much wealth. I mean, you can see his faith. He was ready to walk in faith, but it was a feel good only if kind of faith. He was ready to go with Jesus as long as it didn't mess with his current schedule, as long as it didn't mess with his comfort, as long as he didn't have to move, as long as he didn't have to go outside of his comfort zone, as long as he could just add Jesus to what his life already was. Man, he was all on board. He was ready to roll. Let's go. But Jesus said, you know what? It looks a little different than that. Kind of an all-in thing. And it might not always feel good, but it is good. Feel good faith, only if faith. We're going to talk about even if faith this morning. And even if faith is not feel good faith. Even if faith goes to a whole nother level. Feel good faith is that flesh kind of faith. Don Trine, one of our elders, talked about that this morning in our foundations class. He's talking about walking by the flesh versus walking by the spirit. Feel good faith feels good to the flesh. It's kind of like a faith that's operating in the flesh only. Whatever the flesh, you know, desires and wants. As long as the flesh feels good, then man, then I got faith. But we're going to talk about even if faith. That's what real faith is. And we have three incredible young men that demonstrate to us this bold, even if faith. Again, their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why don't you turn to your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3? That's where we're going to be all morning. We'll hit a few other scriptures here and there. But we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. And we want to catch up, first of all, I want to do a little backstory to get us to Daniel 3. I want to get a backstory on these three guys, kind of where they've been and how they got to this place of Daniel 3. See, these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're buddies with Daniel, and they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians at a very young age. And they were asked to, number one, change their names. The Babylonians actually changed their names. They took away their Hebrew God-honoring names, and they gave them these new names to honor their gods, their Babylonian gods. And then they put them in the king's service. They said, hey, you guys are going to serve the king. You guys are going to live in the castle, and we want you to look like us, to think like us, to act like us, to be like us, to eat like us. And these four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, we're happy to serve you. We're here to serve you. We're going to be good and faithful servants. But there's some things we just can't do that our conscience is not clear with, that we feel will dishonor our God. And so we've got to draw the line. And the first place that they drew the line with King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians is that they said, we just cannot eat this food that would dishonor our God. The diet that you're telling us that we have to take is a diet that our God is not cool with. It's a diet that would bring dishonor to our God. And so we would prefer to eat our way and to abstain from that area of your customs. Ultimately, they were granted the okay on that. They fasted, and many of you are familiar with Daniel fasts and all of that. You read about it in the book of Daniel. And they fasted for a period of 10 days. They came back, and they actually looked healthier. They were more alert. They were on top of things more than any of the other guys in the kingdom. And so what happened to these four men of God who stood up for what was right? They got promoted. They got promoted to some significant positions in the kingdom. Life was good for these four guys. But then they had another opportunity to stand up for the Lord. And that brings us to Daniel 3. Beginning in verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. You see where it's going now. He made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. That's big. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music," in other words, when the music gets turned up, "you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." And then it goes further. It says, "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace." There's a little motivation there. Therefore, what did all the people do? As soon as they heard all the loud music, all the peoples, the nations, and the languages, they fell down and they worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They didn't want to get thrown in the furnace. Well, these three men of God, they said, "Wait a minute, we got ourselves a little bit of an issue here. We can't bow down to any other god. We can't worship anybody but God." They knew the Ten Commandments. They understood what they could and couldn't do. And they had a decision to make. Are we going to go along with everybody else? Or are we going to honor God? How many of you know that the world has set up many idols for us to bow down to? Many idols. I know they don't look like the one mentioned here in Daniel 3. They're not made out of gold. They're not this golden calf or this golden image that gets put out there in the public square and we're supposed to go by there once a day and bow down to it. But nonetheless, the world has placed many idols right there in front of us, and they have told us that we have got to bow down to those idols. Otherwise, there are going to be consequences. Most of the idols are ungodly practices or just customs that we have grown into, you know, so progressively here in America. In America, our culture is telling us to watch what they watch, to take in what they're feeding us and what they're taking in. You know, with our eyes. I mean, that's one of the biggest ones. Bow down to the entertainment, to the things that we're promoting, to the things that we're creating and we're telling you to watch. Bow down. Open up your eyes. Watch this stuff. A little bit of this isn't bad. In fact, all this is reality. Can't you handle reality? This is the way people talk. This is how they act. This is what life really looks like. So just watch it. This is reality, right? Bow down to this idol. Take that stuff in. The world tells us to eat and drink what they eat and drink. The world tells us to spend our money and our time on the idols of pleasure, entertainment, and leisure. You know, a Sabbath is a good thing. And I know Jeremy said he's taking his first vacation in 4 years, and I don't want to quench that at all right now, brother. Take it. You need it. A Sabbath is good. The Lord took a Sabbath. He's told us to take a Sabbath. He's created opportunities for us and given us opportunities and blessed us with opportunities in our lives to take a Sabbath to rest, to get recharged, to allow Him to minister to us in special ways. That's what a Sabbath is for. It's not to go out and get your flesh all excited. You know what I'm saying? A Sabbath is to fill us back up, man, as men and women of God. But the world is telling us, hey, your whole life needs to be about the Sabbath. You need to be focused on the Sabbath. Everything you do, every time you go to work, every time you're making a buck, every time you wake up in the morning, you need to be thinking about leisure and pleasure and entertainment. That needs to be your focus in your life. That's the idol that you need to bow down to. The world tells us to bow down to the idol of wealth and fame and power, to bow down to that idol of success at all cost. You know, the world tells men, this is what we're told. Men are told, hey, your value is based on your success, your financial success, your position in whatever career you have, your promotion, your power, the paycheck that you bring home. That's your success. And so the world says, you need to bow down to that career, and you need to make that your God, and then it will be good for you, and then people will respect you, and then you'll be doing what you're supposed to do. The church even teaches that often. They'll tell a man, they'll take that truth that we do need to provide and protect for our families, and they'll take it to the nth degree. And all of a sudden you got men, even in the church, beginning to hear, even maybe that's not what the pastor's trying to say, they'll start hearing, oh man, I've got to focus my life more on my career. And what do we have? We have orphans in many ways, because the dads are off just focused on that, and the kids get the scraps. The world says, hey, bow down to your career. Bow down to your career. Tells our children that it's normal to rebel against your parents. Hey, that's just what happens when you become a teenager. Hey, that's just what happens. It's okay. It's natural. All the kids do it. Look at the shows on television. You can talk to your parents that way. That's just normal. Bow down to that idol. Receive it. Just buy into that part of life. That's just the way it is. No, it's not. World tells us that if we bow down to these idols, that they'll receive us. But if we don't bow down to these idols, they'll reject us. And I got to tell you what, this is what I believe. I believe that the world wants us, especially the church, wants Christians to go along with them. Why? Because it will justify what they're doing. Why did Nebuchadnezzar and all the leaders in Babylon demand that these three guys bow down with everybody else? Because they wanted to feel good about what they were doing. The world wants the church to go along with them. The world wants us to watch what they watch, to act like they act, to speak like they speak, to go where they go. And they'll use all kinds of tricks to lure us in, because if we go along with them, if we bow down to the things that they've bowed down to, if we consume the things that they've decided to consume, if we go along with them, then that justifies what they're doing. It removes conviction. It makes them feel okay with their sin. And so when the church does that, what are we doing? But sadly, many bow down. Many Christians bow down. And they justify it. Come on, we've all done it before, haven't we? We've all justified it before. And by God's grace, we're going to see less and less of this in our lives. Okay? This isn't the way it has to be. That's what we're talking about. We see three men here, and we're going to talk about them more, that they decide that it doesn't have to be that way. They don't have to go along with the world. And we're going to be like these three guys, okay? But when we go along with the world, we find ourselves justifying it, because we say, you know, look, God, you realize how hard this is for me to say no to this. All the other people are going to that movie, and they're going to all be talking about it in the office. They're going to all be discussing it, and I've got to be up to speed with what's going on in the world if I'm going to be able to minister to the world. So, I got to be around that. I got to get a little bit of that in me so that I can kind of relate to the world. So I'm going to go along a little bit so that I'm relational with them. And you hear what I'm saying? And so we take in this garbage, we bow to their idols, and then we say, oh, God, you wouldn't want me to be ridiculed? I know you wouldn't. You understand, and if I do a little bit of this, your grace is good, and you're going to forgive me anyway. You understand why I have to go to that movie that dishonors you and has all of those expletives in it? And all of those things that dishonor your name, and you understand it. It's just a small part of the movie. I got to tell you what, folks. I have been so convicted in that area. If you go out to that website plugged in online, they will tell you how many times the Lord's name is used in vain in a movie. And I have decided that I'm not watching movies anymore where they take his name in vain. It's just wrong. Why throw my money at that? Why sit there in the movie theater with everybody else, sit there and take this stuff in and come into agreement with it? Everybody's looking around. Many of them or some of them may know who you are. And you're sitting there, I can't do it anymore. My conscience will not allow me to do it. I rarely go to a movie theater. I watch movies. By God's grace, He's given us this thing called Clear Play. I believe our Mormon neighbors came up with that whole, you know, thing. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Then we're going to get you on the whole Jesus thing now. But this Clear Play thing takes that stuff out. We can still watch. And we don't have to put up with that. We don't have to take that stuff in and bow down to that kind of garbage. We don't have to do it. So how do these three, let's get back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do these three men of God, these God-fearing, God-loving young men of God, I just think of you young men up here dancing and praising God and the choices that you're making. When I was studying this and reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I said, we've got young men like that in this church. We have those young men in this church. And I thank God for that, who are making these kind of choices already. You older people, you got to realize that we have young people who are deciding not to go along with the world and are deciding to not bow down to the things the world is telling them to bow down to. What a blessing. How do these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, respond? Now, they're not responding to just, you know, I might get ridiculed. I mean, they're having to make a decision about going into a fiery furnace, being burnt up. How do they respond? Let's go to verses 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, in other words, if we're going to really be thrown into the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, I don't believe they were speaking disrespectfully to this king that they were serving and showing honor to because he is who God had in authority over them. But they were speaking boldly the fact that we will serve you, but we will not bow down to your gods. They were not going to cave. They were not going to move at all in this. And then in verse 18 it says, but if not. Now, in the New American Standard, in the NIV, and in the New Living Translation, it puts it this way. But even if he does not, but even if our God does not deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but even if we are burnt up and we perish, but even if he does not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We can't do that. We will serve you your meals. We will help lead in these areas in your kingdom. But we cannot bow down to any god but God. That's even if faith in action. It's a little different than that James Brown, I feel good. Hey, come on. Let's go. Yeah. It's a little different than that. These men said, look, we're not going to conform. We won't bow down. And we trust that God will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, no matter what, we're going to honor the Lord. We're going to do the right thing. It's not about anything but honoring God. I want to look very quickly at four evidences of even if faith that we see right here in these passages of Scripture in Daniel 3. Four evidences of even if faith. The first one is this. Even if faith is not outcome based. Even if faith, the kind of faith demonstrated by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is not outcome-based faith. It's not circumstantial faith, but it's God-centered faith. It trusts in God even when it appears as though things aren't making sense. You can imagine these guys. They probably, part of them was thinking, okay, God, what's going on here? This is not making sense to us. We're serving you. We're honoring you. We're making the right choice. We're doing the right thing, God, and they're going to throw us in the fire. This is going to be the result of us honoring you and standing up for what's right, is that we're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace, burnt up like a crisp. This doesn't make sense. But even if faith is not outcome-based faith, ultimately what these guys do, they said, you know what? It doesn't make sense, but even if this is the result, we're not going to bow down. Even if we end up in the furnace, we're going to serve the Lord and honor Him. The outcome didn't shape them. You see that? The outcome didn't shape them, but their faith in God shaped them. The outcome didn't shape them. It wasn't about the outcome. Some of you need to hear that right now today. Some of you need to... You need to be freed from the outcome, from the perception of what the outcome is going to be if you follow God in this area. If you go all in this area, you've got to just be released from that bondage of what the outcome is going to be, because it's not about the outcome. It's about what is God calling you to, clearly calling you to. What is it that's going to honor God that you're willing to say no to the stuff of the world and you will honor God? It's not about the outcome. Be freed from that pressure right now. You cannot let the outcome shape your life, your destiny, your future. Your faith, your trust, your pursuit of the Lord, let that shape your future. Let that direct your future. What do you want to put your trust in for your future? How you perceive outcomes and how you're going to navigate the different outcomes that are presented to you? You're going to put your trust in that, or you're going to put your trust that God has your back and that He has good plans for you? Which are you going to choose? These three young guys, man, they said, we're going to let God shape our future, not the outcome. Dave Caldwell brought this up last week when he talked about Stephen in the book of Acts, Acts 7. He talked about Stephen, and he was saying, look, Stephen, he was preaching the gospel, and things looked really bad, but he didn't worry about whether he was going to get murdered, stoned, or not. He wasn't worried about that. He was doing what God called him to do. The outcome, from a human perspective, seemed very bad. He was killed. But it wasn't about the outcome to Stephen. I think of a couple things that have been going on in our world this past week. How many of you have heard of the ESPN commentator Chris Broussard? Have you heard about the opportunity he had this week and the opportunity he took this week to stand up for the Lord, for truth, to honor God, and to not cave in and bow down to the idol of political correctness? Yeah. On national television, they asked him, what do you think of this NBA basketball player coming out as a homosexual? And everybody else was like, oh, it's just great, and we're so proud of him to do it. And Chris, they asked Chris Broussard this. He said, well, I'm saddened by the fact that he's chosen this lifestyle. He's chosen to live in sin because God says it's sin. And just like any sexual sin is sin, you know, it saddens me. And they went on probing him and just in love, but in confidence and in trusting God, he chose to honor God, to present God's word and God's truth about this man's choice, and to do it very publicly in front of everybody. Could he lose his job? Maybe. That may be his fiery furnace. I'm sure that was in the back of his mind to some degree. He went on further to have other interviews, because it's a hot topic, on very secular radio and television stations and programs. And he came out, and one of them blew my mind. It was 9.5 minutes of an interview where he gave one of the most amazing presentations of God's view of sin and salvation and grace. And he presented it so clearly and beautifully, bringing scripture in and out of the whole thing. And you could just hear the conviction on the other side, but you could also hear his love in speaking this to others. He wasn't worried about the outcome. He said, thank you, God. I've got the opportunity to glorify you. And he did. You know, our soldiers may have this opportunity really soon also to choose between the fiery furnace or bowing down to political correctness. You know, a story came out this week that some senior people in the military and in the administration are proposing that proselytizing, that sharing the name of Jesus Christ is potentially going to be court-martial offense. In other words, our soldiers may be court-martialed if they share Jesus Christ with other soldiers. That's the proposal that's on the table right now. And if that happens, many of our soldiers, our Christian brothers and sisters, are going to have the choice to make. Do we bow down to that idol of political correctness? Do we bow down to that so that we don't find ourselves in the fiery furnace of a court-martial? Or do we do what God's told us to do? How will they know unless we tell them? We got to tell them. We've got to open up our mouths and tell them. Don't think that we live in a world where you might not face that someday. Let's be successful in the little things. Let's not worry about ridicule or what somebody might think. Let's not bow down to the world and what they're telling us to take in. Let's stop that right now when it's small so that when it's big, we'll be able to do it then too. All right? We have the grace of Jesus Christ in us. He's got our back. He's on our side. We don't need to worry. Let's stand up in love for truth and what's right. The second evidence of even if faith. Even if faith allows God to show up. How many of you want God to show up in your lives? How many of you want to feel God's presence? How many of you want to experience God moving in power in your life, showing up in circumstances in your life? How many of you? If I don't have every hand up in here, you don't know who God is. I want God to show up in my life. One of the evidences, one of the results of even if faith is God shows up in your life. Let's go to verses 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste. They'd been thrown into the fire, okay? He rose up in haste, and he declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." What happened? Who showed up? Jesus. God showed up when these three men stepped out with even if faith. God showed up. Sometimes we find ourselves in a fire. Life is hard. We're in like the furnace time of life. And we're in the middle of something that just isn't comfortable, that is painful, that's hard, that's difficult. And we're like, why are we in this mess? And we start to get all down. Oh, why so downcast? Oh, my soul. Oh, this is horrible. And oh, life is hard. Oh, God. Oh, God. Like Winnie the Pooh. Oh, bother. Right? We start getting that attitude. I think we need to totally change our thinking. Because when we are honoring God and in the midst of honoring God and living and doing what He's called us to do, if in the midst of that we find ourselves in a fiery furnace in life where things are hard, that's when we need to start getting excited because God's about to show up. Because God shows up when these people are walking in faith and doing His business. God shows up. We need to think differently. We need to speak differently. We need to act differently. When things get tough because we're following God, not because we've been stupid and done things on our own. I'm talking about when we follow God and we do the right thing, we don't bow down, but we go where God calls us to go. And things get tough, get excited because God's about to show up. He's about to show up in your life. It says in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them." What's the opposite of faith? Fear. "Do not fear, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experience that. Real life, real time. It says in Matthew 28:20, "And behold, I am with you always. I am with you always, you disciples of mine, of Jesus Christ, I am with you always to the very end." Forever. I'm with you. I'm with you. No matter what the world is doing to you, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what the outcome may seem or feel to you, I am with you. Come on. How many of you want to know God is with you? How many of you want God to show up in your life? Don't bow down to the idols of this world. Don't do it. Honor God in all things. Come into agreement with Him at all times, and He will show up in your life. That truth hit me big time this week. I was pretty excited. Changed my attitude about a lot of things. I started thanking God and rejoicing and praising Him. Number three, even if faith will glorify the name of the Lord. If we walk by this kind of even if faith, it will glorify God. It says in verses 28 and 29 of Daniel 3 that Nebuchadnezzar answered and he said, blessed be the God. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar. This is the guy who had the idol built, who told everybody to bow down to this golden image. This is the same guy. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, that's Jesus, he doesn't know who he is yet, sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command. Listen, this is the king saying this. He's honoring now what these young men did and yielded up their bodies rather than to serve and worship any god except their own. I respect these guys is what he's saying. I respect these guys who stood on truth of what they believed and they wouldn't bow to any other god. And then he continues, therefore, because I saw these guys live this way, because I witnessed these guys live out this even if faith, because I witnessed what I think's an angel that's really Jesus showing up for these guys, therefore I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. This is an unbeliever. This is a guy who bows down to golden idols that's making this statement. When we live out even if faith, I mean, when we're the real deal, when we won't bow down to the junk of this world, when we say, no, I will not entertain things where the Lord's name is taken in vain, I will not come into agreement with that stuff, I'm not going to do it because God is God and there is no other. How can I do that to Him who has saved me and rescued me? When we do that, when we're the real deal throughout our day, throughout our week, throughout our lives, we just live sincerely for the Lord. When we do that, the world sees it. And what's the result? They glorify God. They go, wow. People are looking for the real deal. They're looking for a church that really believes God is God. People are looking for a reason to surrender to Jesus. I'm telling you, they are. And they're looking to the church. They want to see people who are the real deal and are really experiencing the presence of God and are not bowing their knee to another. And when they see that, they respond just like Nebuchadnezzar did. They do. Wow, I found some people who really trust in their God. There is no God like that. What's the next step? He becomes their God. Our willingness to offer up ourselves with this even if type faith, it's a testimony to others that we really believe. Let me conclude with point number four. The fourth point is that even if faith brings promotion. Even if faith brings promotion. In the end, these men of faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were promoted. It says in Daniel 3:30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were promoted in this life because they stood up. I want to go back to Stephen, though. Stephen, Acts 7. I want to read this passage about how he stood up with even if faith. And then I want us to see in this passage how he was promoted. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged. This is Stephen speaking the gospel, telling them about Jesus. The religious people, that's who they are. They were enraged. And they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, how was Stephen walking? How was he able to walk out even if faith? He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was walking in the Spirit, folks, not in the flesh. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is Stephen. This is what he's seeing. For real. Full of the Holy Spirit, doing what God called him to do. He looks up and he sees Jesus looking at him, standing at the right hand of the Father of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." He's speaking this out now to everybody who's just getting all upset, grabbing rocks, ready to go after him. "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Again, what happens? God showed up when this man stepped out with even if faith. God showed up when he said, "I will do what you've called me to do, God." And he said, but what happened is they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They plugged their ears and they rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of this young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, Stephen cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was promoted. Stephen got to see God show up because he stepped out with even if faith. Didn't matter what anyone was going to do to him. He was going to honor God and do what he was called to do, right? He saw God show up and then he was promoted. He got to see Jesus in this life. He got to see heaven open up and he got to witness where he was about to spend eternity. And then he was taken there. He was promoted. When we step out and we walk with even if faith, promotion is going to be ours in this life and in the life to come. It's ours. I'm reminded of what James wrote in James 4:10. "Humble yourselves before the Lord." What is the best form of humility? Obedience, bowing down. Humble yourselves before God. Honor Him. Do what He's called you to do. Only bow to Him and not to the other garbage. Only bow to Him. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Do what He's called you to do. Live with even if kind of faith. And what's the result? James 4:10. "And He will lift you up." He will promote you. However He wants to promote you. Whatever that's going to look like. He's going to promote you. And God will be glorified. Amen? Why don't we stand up? And I just want to invite anybody here who wants to make a stand this morning and say, "Look, I want to be like these three young men. And I want to live this way. I really do. I want to. I know I can't do it in my own strength. I know I can't do it in the flesh. I've got to be like Stephen. I've got to be full of the Spirit." But I want to invite us to respond to this message, to respond to this kind of lifestyle. And if you want to live this way, knowing your complete dependence on God to do it, but you're willing to come into agreement with God, you're willing to listen to the voice of God, and you're willing for Him to mess your life up a little bit, to shake things up, to pull some things out, to add, you know, the good stuff, to pull out the bad stuff. If you really are ready for that, you're ready to not settle, you're ready to live this way, I want to invite you to raise both hands up in the air. I mean, raise them high like you mean it. It's a form of surrender. It's a form of humility. It's a form of bowing down to God and saying yes, coming into agreement. And I just feel the Lord saying, let's pray together. And I'm just going to pray a prayer right now, led by the Holy Spirit. Lead us in this, Holy Spirit. And you just can respond. Let's come into agreement. God, You are God, and there is no other. Forgive me for bowing down to other idols. Forgive me for coming into agreement with this world. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You that I am clean. Now, God, would You launch me into this kind of faith? Holy Spirit, fill me and lead me into this kind of life. I want to honor You. I want to bow down to You and You alone. I need You to show up. Change my perspective. When I find myself in the furnace, I will thank You and I will look to You For you will show up. For you are with me. When things are good, I won't get lazy and turn back to my old ways. I will chase after you even more. Because you are worthy. And God, I am confident that you will be glorified in me and through me as I live this way. And I thank you that I will be promoted. I look forward to my eternity spent with you. I love you. I speak this and I declare this and I have confidence in this because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.